Pierre McGuire on TSN 690, brought to you by Dagwoods Catering. Make your office party a hit with Dagwoods Catering. Order online at dagwoods.ca.
Some silliness on the panel. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, Pierre McGuire?
I watched the panel. That was silliness.
Yeah. Who's the greatest goal scorer in the NHL today, Pierre?
Oh, my gosh. How do you know the answer to that?
Yeah, you don't. You don't. That's what people do.
I would say one of the best ones is it hurt right now and out for a long time, and I feel terrible about it. Steven Stamkos.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking about all the significant injuries, right? Perhaps, are you of the belief that perhaps it's tied to all these games being played in a short period of time?
I don't know that. My concern, when I first saw it, I thought back to how hard he tried to rehab coming back from the broken leg and the surgery that he had on his leg. That's the first thing I thought of.
No, I mean across the league, the number of significant injuries across the league so far.
Well, it could be, but I also know that it led to some unbelievable hockey. I know that we can't have it both ways. I said at the start of the year that part of the reason why the league was off to such a great start is because the guys were playing high-end hockey starting in September, so they had to get ready in July and August, and they were really ready for the World Cup. But it could be. I mean, that was my, and I know I said this to you, my biggest fear for Carey Price was being rushed into this tournament and the potential for injury. Thank goodness nothing's happened to him, but I'm just telling you, that was my biggest fear.
Certainly not a Stamkos type player, but man, another bad scene last night.
And now Richardson is on the ice, and Trampkin took a shot at him, and
he's hurting.
Boy, oh boy, he can't even get up. Well, a nice round of applause here from the fans at Rogers Arena in Vancouver.
Well, Pierre, you saw that. It's almost like his leg was snapped in two.
Yeah, that's a 265-pound man hitting a 195-pound man and just leaning on him. It wasn't not dirty at all, but it just shows you how big these players are. And I saw that happen once, and you guys are actually going to be doing the Carolina-Montreal game. It wasn't the same, but it was similar, where Steve Smith was in a fight in Chicago when he played. He's an assistant coach with Carolina now, and his leg snapped in the fight, and I think he might have been fighting Ty Domi, but I'm not positive on that. It's a long time ago. I remember breaking down the tape, and Steve had his leg just shattered, and it looked very similar to what I saw last night, but that was not a dirty play. Last night.
It just so happens that Joe Theismann, Lawrence Taylor, remember that?
Oh, absolutely. That was hideous.
It's the anniversary of that moment.
No way.
Yeah, in 85, I think it was.
Oh, man, that was just awful to watch. Yeah. And Lawrence Taylor was as good as any player that ever played in the NFL. Even he would tell you he felt sick when he knew what happened. Like, he knew something bad happened.
Pierre, last year, as the Canadiens were falling apart, I can recall as you kept waiting for them, because they were still within striking distance of the playoffs, going into Carolina and just being dominated by all their young players.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Jeff Skinner, they're having some trouble scoring. How would you describe the Hurricanes as a team right now?
A work in progress. They're very fortunate. They have a really good coach in Billy Peters, but they are a work in progress. Now, you talk about young players. They added another young one this year, Sebastian Aho. He's an outstanding player. Played World Junior for the Finns. Played for a great program up in the north of Finland, in Oulu, which produces tons of NHL players. He's an outstanding, outstanding young player. Victor Rask is a great young player out of Leksand in Sweden. Played in his own hometown. Best bar there is Bosporen Pub. I've been there many times in Leksand. Beautiful place, lake country of Sweden. But the best bar there, if you ever go there, go to the Bosporen Pub. It's really good.
Hey, a travelogue from Pierre, slipping in a travelogue.
I got to do that. And then, obviously, Teuvo Teravainen, who they got from Chicago. Those are their best young players. And Elias Lindholm, I got to throw him in there. But those are the best young players that they have.
Pierre, I'm very much looking forward to watching Sebastian Aho tonight. And I'm wondering how you think he compares to his fellow countrymen, Puljujarvi and Laine.
Oh, they're totally different. This is a smaller man. He might weigh 170 pounds max. He's really quick. He's really slick. He's got good vision. A lot, very similar, Mitch Gallo, to somebody that I know you like a lot, Mitch Marner. Not as good as Marner, but there are a lot of similarities.
Yeah. Go ahead. You want to follow up?
Well, not really. I don't know if Aho has the Mets to score the goal that Marner scored last night.
No, that's what I just said. Yeah. He's similar, but he's not as good. We agree.
Yeah. So you go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, just on the note of the young players, I love watching whenever I get a chance these young defensemen that come in and get that opportunity, like Noah Hanifin with Carolina. He's with another organization. I don't think he plays as much.
No, he doesn't. Neither does Brett Pesce. Neither does Jacob Slavin. I mean, those are young guys that are really good players. They did one of their preseason games up in Buffalo, or against Buffalo up in Marquette, Michigan, and Noah was great in that game. Brett Pesce was outstanding in that game. But they need some older players. Now, Justin Falk's injury hasn't helped them much at all, but they need some older guys to help them out.
I want to know more about this bar.
Boss Born Pub, really good.
Okay, it must have had a lasting impact on you.
Oh, you know what? The food was Lexan. The one time I remember going there, that's probably the last time I was there. It was 07, but I used to go there a lot before that, World Junior year. And it got dark, obviously, really early in the afternoon, and it stayed dark virtually all the time. And you'd walk from the rink to the Boss Barn, and you'd sit in there, and they couldn't have been more hospitable, and the food was so good and everything. It was a fun experience that time. But the other times I'd gone there, I'd always gone by myself because I was scouting, and it was a different experience. So I appreciate going there.
So right now, Coach Michel Therrien is meeting with members of the media. Pierre, there was no morning skate today. And, of course, we know Radulov is out with the flu-like symptoms. And Therrien says that he can't say if there's lineup changes tonight because some guys aren't 100% and they need the warm-up to see if they're good to go. Can the Canadiens really be going through this for a second time within the span of 2 months? The flu running through the team?
It could happen. All it takes is one guy getting sick and then polluting the whole room. Or polluting the whole plane. That's all it takes. It can happen for sure. Obviously not good. You don't want to have that happen, but no question, it can happen.
So if Thomas Buchanan plays tonight and he's got that double turtleneck going, then you'll know, it's one of the guys who's not feeling too well.
Well, you know, it's interesting because once it does happen, you want to keep guys away because you don't want the rest of the team to get, ill based on what's gone on with one guy. You don't want 15 other guys getting it, but that's just how it works in the league. It's once your team goes through that stuff, it's not easy.
Yeah. So if it is in fact the flu, why let the guy even? Or maybe it's more than one. Maybe there's like three or four, and
it could be. All you need to know is for those that are listening, you've been on buses, you've been on airplanes, you know how confined those are. Plus, now compounded with perspiration, water bottles, just everything. It's so much easier for professional athletes or any athletes at all when they're in those kinds of situations to get really, really sick.
So, Charles Hudon, we won't know for a little while whether he actually makes his season debut tonight. And we've mentioned him before. Again, he only played three games last season. I thought he looked pretty good. He picked up a couple of assists in those games. Had a terrific year in the American Hockey League. On fire to start the season in the American Hockey League. That's why he's up. Charles Hudon at his best can be what, in your opinion, Pierre?
Solid third-line player. That's what I would see him as. I wouldn't see him worse than that. I wouldn't see him better than that, but I would see him as that. And that's a good player in the league. I mean, that's what you need to look at. When you're looking at players, you have to see where do they fit in, what do they do. And I think that's what he can be for that team.
Now, just for Charles Hudon, Pierre, it's interesting because he's kind of like the reverse of Mike McCarron. He grew up as a center, and he's been playing wing in the AHL, whereas McCarron grew up as a winger, and now the last few years a junior, and now in the AHL he's been playing center. How's that adjustment for a young player?
It's hard. It's a lot more difficult. There's no question. It's a lot more difficult. But once you learn it, I mean, the one thing in the NHL, it's not nearly as difficult in terms of coverage situations. That's probably the biggest thing is you don't have the difficulty with the coverage if you're moving from center to wing.
And, of course, tomorrow night it's Toronto. You guys mentioned Mitch Marner. So.
And now Marner's got a break. He's behind Matheson. Mitch Marner scores! Beauty!
A rough night for James Reiner back in Toronto for the first time.
He struggled. But Toronto's just fun to watch. We've talked about it all year long, the young forwards. They're going to score a ton of goals. They're going to give up a ton of goals. They faced, backup goalies now. Roberto didn't play in that game. The previous game, they didn't get Pekka-Rinne. They're getting backup goalies right now, but teams are going to stop doing that, I can tell you that.
Well, they didn't get the backup when they were here earlier in the year, and they needed Carey Price. And you know, I remember.
Oh, I know. I agree. I remember the night. What, almost 40 saves?
Yeah, Nylander was probably the best skater on the ice, and that's a team with speed. And again, we talk about the Canadiens wanting speed as identity. They're not that fast. They have some fast, quick players, but you watch the Leafs. If the Leafs are on tomorrow night, unless they somehow manage to clog up the neutral zone, they're going to expose some of the Canadiens defensemen who aren't very mobile.
That's really well said.
And rely on Carey Price?
I totally agree. That's well said. Now, the one thing is, everybody equates fast teams with just skating speed. The best teams in the league, and Chicago is clearly one of those teams. I think Washington's starting to become one of those teams. Tampa Bay is one of those teams. Transition game is about puck movement. It's not just about transporting the puck. It's about moving it. So there are a lot of teams that are really fast that aren't as fast skating-wise because they move the puck so darn good. Their transition games are so good. Tampa's one. Chicago's one. I think Montreal is one. Pittsburgh is one. Washington is one. Those teams, they move the puck so darn quick.
Could a scoring slump for Austin Matthews this early in the season help him longer term down the year because it's now 11 games he hasn't scored?
Yeah, everybody's worried about his scoring. Look at his shots on goal. He's getting tons of shots. Their pucks are going to go in. But what makes me really excited about him is he understands the entire ice surface. He understands the offensive zone. He understands the neutral zone. He understands his own zone. He understands faceoffs. He understands penalty kill. He understands power play. He's basically a refined and finished product, even though he's 19 years old. Wait until you see him once he starts to get really hot. He's as complete a young player as I've seen come into the league.
I do want to ask you, though, because it feels like every time I'm clicking on sound bites or listening to audio from Toronto, they're harping on this slump from Austin Matthews.
Because they built him up.
Yeah, but at the same time, Pierre, my question to you is how...
Like the American election, Melnick.
how different is it going through a slump, playing in Toronto or Montreal as a young player like Austin Matthews is, only 19 years old, compared to, say, I don't know, somewhere like Carolina?
Oh, my, apples and oranges. It's really tough. Any of the Canadian markets are tough. The Detroit market is tough. I mean, no, it's much more difficult. But that's where, if you're Austin Matthews or you're his family, you're grateful that you have Lou Lamoriello there. You're grateful that Brendan Shanahan is there. You're grateful that Babcock is there because you have people that have gone through this before. You can't say that a lot of the Toronto players have gone through it because you don't have a lot that can say, yeah, I was a superstar in Toronto, and this is how tough it is, because you don't. Bozak's not a superstar. Van Riemsdyk's not a superstar. Morgan Riley's not one yet. He's got a chance to be, but he's not one yet. So internally, with his peers, he doesn't have anybody that can help him, but he's got management people and coaching people that can really help him.
Big night tomorrow for Austin Matthews. Watch what happens tomorrow amidst all this talk. I wanted to ask you specifically about the Minnesota Wild, coached by Bruce Boudreau, who's always known for offense.
Yep.
They have now. They're obviously Devan Dubnyk's playing really well, but that is a team that is very tough to score against.
Well, defensively, they've been great. Excuse me, they've been outstanding as a defensive group. I mean, you look at them and you say, "Wow, they're good." I mean, and I think part of that is coaching, but where I think they have issues is they don't have a ton down the middle. And it's a little bit like Montreal.
Yep.
They don't push through the middle. Eric Staal's had a tremendous start to the year. I don't think you could say the same thing about Mikko Koivu. I don't think, even though he scored last night, I don't think you could say the same thing about Michael Granlund. So they're having an issue in terms of thrust through the middle. And it's kind of like their wingers are left on an island. But their defense has played well, and I think Bruce deserves some credit because he's and Scott Stevens, by the way. Scott Stevens has gone in there as an assistant coach and really put a footprint on that defensive tactics of the team.
Yeah, so. I was watching that last night. It's interesting. When I saw a shot of Scott Stevens standing next to Boudreau, it kind of reminded me of seeing Kirk Muller next to Michel Therrien, the two assistant coaches who so far may have made the biggest differences.
I love it. Yeah. Really well said. Totally agree. I talked about Scott maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago because I was watching one of their games and I was saying, there's a lot of Lemaire there, and I have so much respect for Jacques. There's so much Lemaire in there watching what he's done, does as a coach. So it's good for Minnesota.
P, Pierre, you were mentioning Minnesota and Eric Staal. We were having this debate this week on TSN 690. The best, so far, it's about 20 games into the season, the best free agent acquisition this year. And I know we're here in Montreal, but Eric Staal pretty much came up second to Alex Radulov.
Yeah, Radulov would be first. I've said this the other day, Sean, and I really feel that the energy the other night, you could see they missed his energy against Florida. You could tell. They may miss it again tonight, but I think Radulov's been one. Staal's definitely. I personally think Staal's been number two.
Among the other games tonight, the Islanders hosting.
Well, can I say one other thing?
Sure.
About free agents, if Vanek hadn't have been hurt in Detroit,
yep.
I think Vanek would be right up there rivaling Eric Staal. That's the one I think of. Vanek was off to an amazing start. I think he's so undervalued. He would have been right up there, but obviously the injury hurt.
Sometimes it actually means something, a la Mark Bergevin to Michel Therrien a year ago. Garth Snow with the vote of confidence. Sometimes it's just buying time. What do you see the Islanders getting out of this anytime soon?
I think this one I don't know, because it's Garth speaking as a general manager, and it's not Mr. Ledecky or Mr. Malkin, who are their two owners now. New owners, by the way. They own 85% of the team. So you haven't heard anything from ownership, even though Gar says that ownership has supported him. You don't see any quotes from the ownership group. So that's the only thing that I think could be problematic. This is a huge game for the Islanders tonight, gigantic game for them. I don't know how it's going to play out. None of us do, but they better be better than they were against Tampa. Because if they're not, they're going to get blown out. That Pittsburgh team's angry from the way they played the other night in Washington. Just like I told you before the Washington-Pittsburgh game, that Washington was an angry team and they were probably going to take it out on Pittsburgh. I think Islanders better be ready tonight or they're going to be in big trouble tomorrow.
Irish Embassy pregame show, Habs and Carolina Hurricanes coming right up. Here's the least surprising headline of the week. TJ Oshie likes possible shootout rule change.
He told me that the other night before the game. We were talking, and he in the warm-up, and he says, I hope they switch to this. What do you think the chances are? I said, I don't know, but Doug Armstrong's got a lot of cachet with the other general managers in the league. He's had a lot of success, and they respect him a lot. So I would say probably good. He goes, oh, that's great for me.
Have a wonderful weekend, Pierre. Thanks for another terrific week. We'll do it again on Monday.
Thanks a lot, my friend. I appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your families.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal.